You die twice in life, and that's like when you die for real, but the first time is when the kid inside you die.
So I just bought this beanbag, and I slept on the beanbag for like a good 3 months. You just gotta do things like that. You can do one thing and f*** it all up, or you can do one thing and get everything you ever asked for.
You just walk into every day thinking like that, and you got 365 chances to change your life.
If it was 1700 years ago, I'd be a philosopher. Like, if I was a supervillain, I would want to do like, you know how Thanos just had like all these fire ass quotables, or like Bane. Outside of rap, I want to just make a book of like evil ass villain quotables.
We're back with another episode of BET Talks. I'm your host, Mia Bell, and today's guest is known for bringing the energy, the style, and of course, the bars, okay? From the road to Casablanca to Mount Pleasant. Mm. Help me welcome Armani White.
Oh my God, yeah. Listen to that intro. Mm-hmm. Wow.
All for you, Armani White.
Yeah, thank you.
How you feeling?
I mean, I feel like honored that I just heard that. I need to start working on my own intro to talk about myself like that.
I know that's right. And that's what you're here to do. Talk about yourself,
yes,
okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, we're going to start it off with a game called This or That.
I'm very indecisive, but let's do it.
So when it comes to touring versus recording, what would you pick?
Recording.
Why?
You can stay in one place. Yesterday, I just spent like a cool 17 hours in a bus. It just felt like purgatory.
Man.
It just felt like purgatory. Mm-hmm. It was like, wow, like when can I like see air again? Like, you know?
Okay, now when it comes to keep in touch versus road to Casablanca, what would you say?
Keep in touch.
Why?
I had more time to work with Keep in Touch. Everything was so broken. Like, we had no money. I remember we got kicked out of the studio. I had to do a guitar solo on my cell phone. I was just singing it in the voice memo. Keep in Touch, it just felt more like raw. And I love that about that.
So what about connecting with fans in person versus connecting with them online, Mr. Social Media?
Oh my God. You know what though? You know what? I like connecting with people in person more than social media. Numbers just become so plentiful on social media. Like, it's different talking to somebody, hearing like some song that you don't even like that much, but they love,
right.
And like, you know, all of that stuff. But it's like a little short Indian dude, I can't remember his name, but he came up to me last night at this show. He was like, yo, I love all of your music. I'm one of your biggest fans. So my homie was like, name 10 songs. He was like, all right, Billie Eilish. Yo, give me 1 second.
Oh, he had to go there.
I said, I don't know my biggest fan, big homie, but yeah, I love connecting with fans in person because it's like, I don't know, it's peer-to-peer. You get to see, like, I'm a human.
Right.
Like, I don't know. That's just really cool. That's the coolest part about all of this.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's what your fans love the most about you because you do have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
You got a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of style.
Coming from you, I appreciate it.
Of course, we had to dress it up because we knew you were going to be in the building.
So if I wasn't here, what would you have worn?
It depends. I probably would have went a little more sporty.
Okay. Like sweatpants, top and bottom type of thing.
Definitely not sweatpants, okay. But you know, a little t-shirt.
You could have put some sweatpants together, though. Like,
maybe some track pants.
Yeah. You know? I'm not mad at sweatpants ever. I'm from Philly, though, so like we always just do sweatpants.
Now, I want you to take us back to Philly when you were growing up and when you realized that music was something that you wanted to go full throttle with because you was rapping in the second grade.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a moment I didn't think like music was going to be something I wanted to do. It never made sense for me to do another job. I wanted to be a lawyer at one point. Not like actually, I just like yelling at people. So like I thought about things like that, but it never really made sense more than like, yo, if I make two words rhyme and say how I feel, like that'd be really dope. I heard an Eminem album and I was like, wow, this isn't about going to the club, which I hate. This isn't about smoking or drinking, which I hate. Mm-hmm. This is about him just like talking about his life, which I love. And I was like, bet I can do that same thing.
Now, before you got founded and you know the labels were reaching out, what was your independent lifestyle like? Were you uploading on SoundCloud?
We was uploading on SoundCloud. We was stealing salmon at the self-checkout.
Okay.
Bro, we lived a real life. We let some fireworks off for Juneteenth. Fireworks ended up catching fire on the roof. I went to jail for it.
You and your brother.
Yes.
Wrongfully arrested.
Yes.
For arson.
Yes.
And the anniversary of that was in September. Tell us about those moments.
Boy, that sucked. I don't know how people go to jail and then come out of jail and be like, yo, I'm gonna go back to jail. Like, I would never go to jail again. You feel me? It was ass. I don't really know how else to put it, because I just remember like taking all my money out and leaving it in my mom's car, like, yo, just bail me out in the morning. It felt like a Tyler Perry movie. Yeah, my bail was like $100,000. It was bad. I don't really have like a good memory from any of this.
Well, of course not a good one, yeah. But did it snap anything into reality?
Well, getting out of jail, I realized, like, I was like, wow, like one moment, just one little moment could change everything. In a bad way. So I wonder if one good moment could change everything. You feel me? So yeah. I was like, once I walk out of here, like, I'm just gonna do everything to the max of my ability. Like, I'm not gonna let any day go by where I didn't put my full effort into it and try and like really make this shit work. Once I got out of there, I was just grinding, working for it, going for it.
How did it impact your music creatively?
At the time, I had made this EP called Things We Lost in the Fire, because mm-hmm. I had a house fire that happened when I was a kid. Or I wasn't living in the house at the time, but I was spending majority of my time there with mm-hmm. my aunt and my three cousins. And they all passed away in that fire. That was a thing that I just kind of always put to the back of my head. Like, I was like, I can't really talk about it. I don't really know how to process the emotions. Once that moment happened, it just felt like a full circle thing. I was just like, I want to talk about how I'm feeling. I want to talk about what all the, like, just the concept of fire in my life in general and, like, what it meant to me.
And then from there, I'm sure the vulnerability really allowed things to grow for you.
Yeah, that's what allowed me to make records like A Mount Pleasant, where I'm like, oh, I can talk about my feelings.
Yeah.
Like, I got... It is, like, yeah.
Mount Pleasant, the actual song. I wish that you would give us more.
I'm going to give you a whole project of that.
Please.
I promise you.
Over the guitar.
You. Yes. No more 808s, no more kicks, nothing, just guitar.
Right. Just, no more going ghost on the girls.
Just a man and his feelings.
Right.
No, the girls went ghost on me.
Uh-huh.
The girls went ghost on me first. I had to go ghost back. Yeah. It was like a ghost.
Okay, we're going to get into the ghost and the girls, too.
Yeah.
But I do want to know how that vulnerability that you're able to now put on records mm-hmm. is connecting you deeper with your fans.
Yo, I love the messages where, like, somebody's like, wow, this song changed my life. This song saved my life. Like, I've always loved those messages. I had a song before this called Thanksgiving. People was like, wow, like, this song really helped me through this, helped me through that. Things that I wasn't really, like, it was emotions that I didn't fully process or feel. Like, I wasn't depressed when it was going on. So, like, I wouldn't know that, wow, this is what, you know, like, this is a song that can help somebody through depression. But, like, I love being the soundtrack or the vehicle to get somebody to the other side or something. That's just cool as hell to me.
Yeah. You say something really important. It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. I was going through something, like, it was a breakup, not so much just with a girl, but, like, a breakup with friends, a breakup with, like, the entire past version of me. And, like, everybody was kind of looking at me a different way. Like, yo, you're not this, you're not that, you're not that. And I was like, you know, I think it's okay to not be these things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to not be all the way put together. I've never been all the way put together, and that's what's made it, like, fun. Yes.
So you shed a lot of those past friends and relationships?
Everything. Mm-hmm. One, it dropped my skin. Ugh, new snake. You think snakes look like that when they drop their skin?
I don't know what they look like. Scary.
Majestic as
well. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Now, that brings us to the fun that you're having on your records, which you always do.
I always have fun, yes.
Like ghosts. So the girls were ghosting you.
Yo, yes.
And you had to ghost back.
I had to ghost back.
Okay, when were they ghosting you? Before the fame?
Yeah. A little bit of, like, you know. Like,
okay.
I'm super hypochondriac, so I'm not the person that just run out and find a girl every night. Like, I get a little scared when I do stuff like that.
As you should be.
Yeah. I got I end up, like, you know, it's the girl that you're not supposed to text back. I end up texting her back, like, yo, is everything good? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do too much. So I held on to some old relationships that I shouldn't have and drug them into this part of my life when, like, they clearly didn't want to be there. Like, I had to get rid of that. I had to ghost them people. But they was ghosting me also, so it just became, like, a little bit of, like, a ghost off.
Who's winning the ghost off?
I think me. I hope. Yeah, I can only speak from my perspective.
Okay.
I got the ball right now. Too. You know, it's third down, but, you know, we working.
What are your relationships like these days? Are you in one now?
Yeah, I'm always in one. Fire. Whether I know it or not.
Whether you know it or not?
Yeah, bro. Somebody. I'm in a relationship with somebody somewhere.
Do you aspire to, you know, one day have a family, of course, and just lock it down in
a monogamous
way? I had
a family since I was born. You had a family, too.
As you know, leading the pack.
I lead my pack right now.
Okay. I know that's right.
I'm leading. Okay. All I do lead. You feel me?
Please. You are so unserious.
And so, it's just like, yo, I'm so important to me.
Yes.
You feel what I'm saying? Okay. So, like, I couldn't imagine, like, a little person that I don't even know like that being more important than me. So,
we're not there yet. Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm just like, yo, like, I would love to have one. Mm-hmm. But, like, you see that new movie with The Weeknd where he was, like, yelling at Jenna Ortega and he was like, Like, yeah, that's how I be feeling. Like,
I respect
at some
that
point,
energy.
Though, at some point, just not.
Not right now. Yeah. There's a lot more to focus on.
Yeah. Like, I have a kid right now, he can't rap.
And that shit's going to disappoint you.
And if he did rap and he was ass, I would be so furious. Because, like, I just wasted all my time.
I mean, right now, of course, you are focusing on throwing that thing on, throwing that shit on.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Curse, girl, curse.
Uh-huh. Just a little bit. I'm the host.
It's me you talking to. Yes.
Tell us about that record. It's a lot of fun, of course.
Uh-huh.
And you are into fashion.
Yes.
We see the hair.
Yes.
You
yes.
was telling me off camera that you want to test the baby hairs out at some point.
I tested them out.
Okay.
Bad idea.
All right.
Doesn't work. You have to have a girl that's close by you that knows how to do it.
Right.
And I'm not always next to a girl. So, mm-hmm. like, I tried to do it in my mirror. Look like a f***ing idiot. I was like there for a good 30 minutes just looking stupid, and I realized like, no, I could just, you know what I mean, just keep the beads. And in terms of fashion, yes, I'm very into fashion. I just like the clothes, like your uniform. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at clothes like your superhero outfit. Like, right. like when I throw these on, I'm like, I want people to stare. I feel like I'm an attractive person. Like, I feel like you're an attractive person.
Thank
and
you.
Someone can look at you and be like, wow, you're really attractive. That's outside of anything you did.
Right.
Like, you just woke up and was attractive. What I can change is my outfit. So when
yes.
somebody compliments your outfit, like I was walking out of Cava the other day,
mm-hmm.
and this guy was like, yo, like, I like those pants. You know, I'm a man, so I had to be like, oh, I appreciate you. In my head, I was like, yeah, like, this is me. This is all my brain, my ideas, my thoughts put together.
And where would you say a lot of those influences come from? Because as an artist, you mm-hmm. know, that one thing that does point you out, of course, your hair.
Yeah.
And the styles.
So I spent a lot of time in Korea, and I like the, like, uniform thing that they was doing. Like, just they all dress like this to go to school, but they'll throw, like, little grills in, beads and stuff. When I first came out, I was wearing a bunch of colors, like, colored pants, colored shirts, colored jackets and all that, and I was like, yeah, I just want to, like, simplify. If a fat white man with glasses walks in,
mm-hmm.
it's just a fat white man with glasses.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if a fat white man with a button-up shirt and green pants and glasses walks in, that's Peter Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to have the uniform that people
right.
is like,
that's Armani White.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I only used to wear clothes that were sent to me. Like, I was, like, just, like, free stuff. I was like, man, I'm in a crib. I'm in... Mm-hmm. And sweatpants all day. First ever, like, brand package that I got.
Yeah.
They gave it to me on a plate or something like that, like a tray.
Really?
Yeah, it came from you.
Entree Lifestyle.
Yes, it came from
wow.
you. The package from Entree Lifestyle.
First full funny, circle moment.
Funny enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Like, yay.
Yes.
So, yeah, like, my fashion sense probably came from you. To
that is
that
so thing. Crazy. Like, For those who don't know, my early beginnings was working in streetwear
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
marketing, and I would send out all these different care packages,
mm-hmm.
and you definitely received
tell
one
them about yourself,
on a
girl.
Plate.
Tell them about yourself, girl.
No, because we're here to talk about you.
Tell them about yourself, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be where I was if it wasn't for me and Bell and Entree Lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me, camera. You understand what I'm saying to you? I got you.
Now, how are you celebrating all your accomplishments these days? Because you've had some really great moments. You're still here in mm-hmm. the music.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing for you? How are you celebrating?
I play Mario Kart.
Mm.
I don't know. Like, I'm one of them type of people that, like, reward for hard work is more work. Like, so a lot of times we just stay in the hamster wheel. Like, oh, shit, that was crazy.
Right. What's next?
Let's capitalize on it. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And so, and then we have a big record that we capitalize on it with. And it's like, that went even crazier. Let's capitalize on it. So when I do get those little gaps, like a Saturday or Sunday,
mm-hmm.
I'll go to church, play Mario Kart, or play pool. It's like one of the three.
Now, when it comes to having such a big record like Billie Eilish, what would you say were the ups and downs coming from that?
The only bad part about it is the chase. The 5,000 people, 10,000 people who knew me at the time, knew me. The 5 million, 10 million people who found out who I was had no idea, you know? So it was like the chase of trying to explain yourself to all these 10 million people while, like, them just, you know, them just being latched onto one version of you. I think that was the hardest part. I mean, that's just, like, the one downside of, like, the millions of upsides of it.
Yeah, of course, because millions know you.
Yeah, exactly.
Record.
Now it's like I can dress a lot better.
mm-hmm.
So, like, my first expensive buy was a beanbag. I spent like $2,000 on a beanbag.
On a beanbag?
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta remind yourself that you're alive, but mm-hmm. it's still you that's alive. You die twice in life, and that's like when you die for real, but the first time is when the kid inside you dies. So I made sure that the kid is alive. So I just bought this beanbag, and I slept on the beanbag for like a good 3 months. I had a bed too, like it was right next to me, but I slept on the beanbag. But you just gotta do things like that.
What are some things that you're writing in your journal now?
Anything in my journal right now is just to be
It's just to make sure I'm still being like really conscious of like me. I don't know, just it's real weird stuff. Like it's like semi-fake motivational stuff that I'm like, I would never say this out loud because like who cares? But like I'd be like, damn, that sounded cool as shit. In my head, if it was 1700 years ago, I'd be a philosopher. Like if I was a supervillain, I would want to do like, you know how Thanos just had like all these fire-ass quotables or like Bane and some shit like that. Like, I want to do that outside of rap. I want to just make a book of like evil-ass villain quotables.
I think you can. You're a wordsmith.
I feel like I should. And you're from Philly.
Yeah, so
you think it's a bunch of villains in Philly? What was that?
Absolutely.
Okay, no, that makes sense. That makes
absolutely.
Sense. Nah, you're not right.
I know
you're
my way around Philly,
that,
yeah.
You're not wrong about that.
I know what's going on. Love it, though. Now, yeah. You are from the city of brotherly love.
Yes, ma'am.
Where a lot of lyricists come from.
Yes, ma'am.
Who would you say are some of your tops?
From Philly?
Or who you want to get on a record with?
Me and Black Thought were supposed to do a record for like a good 5-6 years.
Really?
It's my fault. It's not his fault. It's my fault.
You playing with Black Thought?
No, I'm not playing with him. It's just
DM
like
DM him right now.
Well, I was just talking to him on the phone the other day. But
please.
But I'm a perfectionist about a lot of stuff. So like I wanted to do a song with Black Thought since I was a kid, and I'm just like like I don't want to just like so many people did a Black Thought song, and I'm like. That shit was ass. Like, you underutilized Black Thought. It's Black Thought, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I just get in my head about it so much that I just never jumped out and did it. And I feel like I gotta get into, like, a lyrical, hyperbolic time chamber and just spar for, like, a good 6 months before we do it. Because it's gonna scare the hoes for sure.
Yeah.
Whatever I do with Black Thought, it's, like, it's gonna be, like, one of them, like, yo, it's sweaty neckbeard hip-hop music. You feel me? And I'm okay with that. I'm completely fine with that.
No, we need that. And I think a lot of people want to hear more from you in that sense because you are so lyrical.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we got Black Thought on that list.
Yes. And oh, I forgot who else is on. I can name a bunch of DVD rappers. I guess Meek is in that area. There's a rapper called Joey Jahad that I liked when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Jahad was so fire, bro. I put my homie Savage, Sean Smith, he's on there. He's like, he was in the DVD era too, but he started doing his own thing in Philly. He's dope. Tierra's dope. Tierra Whack.
Yeah, we love her.
Tierra's dope.
Would you ever dabble in any other genres?
Yeah, I'm over here singing now, girl. Mm-hmm. What? I'm gonna buy a big enough casket to fit all my raps and just close it, and I'm just gonna be
and
a singer.
Forget that.
Yeah, I'm just doing guitar music at this point, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to just do like straight guitar stuff, rock stuff. Like I just did like a whole guitar project. I'm gonna make a gospel album at some point. Like when I'm like 50. When I get my first gray hair, I'm gonna make a gospel album.
Hey, don't speak too soon now.
No. It's not coming. It's not coming. Trust me. Me and my barber, we talked about it. But like when it does come, I'm gonna start on a gospel album. It's gonna take a couple years. Like you really gotta be, you know, inspired and like love God and stuff like that. Yeah.
Which you do.
Yeah, I love God. I love God. Whatever genres is there. They've been trying to get me to go country. I just don't feel like I'm light-skinned enough.
Okay.
Like
you know what? Hey. Black people are at the forefront of every genre.
Yes, whatever you decide to choose
doesn't matter. It's your world.
Yeah. Nah, I might go country at some point.
We can see that, Mount Pleasant. Are there any misconceptions you feel like your fans have about you?
You know, it's not a misconception of a fan, it's misconceptions of like the people I work with, like producers. Like I get in studios with producers and I'm like, yeah, I tell them what I'm on. I'm like, I'm on some guitar shit. I really want to talk about my feelings. And they'll be like, word. So I got this Pharrell beat. And they'll just play me some dumbass loops. And I'm like, no. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's really just like, I don't make club music. Like Billie Eilish wasn't a club song. Goated, Servitude, none of them are club songs. They just songs. I was like, oh, this is really fun. I play my Switch. I play Call of Duty. I don't smoke or drink.
I know that's right.
Yeah, I'm not in a relationship, but there is a relationship somewhere out there with my
with
name
you
on
it. In it.
Yeah, with me in it. Maybe three.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We still sorting that out. You know what I'm saying? I had my lawyer go through and kind of like iron out the details on all three of those. Is there any misconceptions about me that you feel like I need to clear up?
No, not at all. I just wanted to hear you say something funny because you were just taking it there.
The thing about me, I'm going to ramble, you feel me?
Like, I know that's right.
I'm going to ramble. That's definitely my shit.
Okay.
Is there any misconceptions about you that you feel like you need to clear up?
No, because hey, if it's what you think, then that's just what it
Talk
is, baby.
Talk that shit. If it's what you think, like who am
go
I to clear
it
up? Yo, because you will never understand how everyone else sees you. You will never see you how someone else sees you. And I know that about myself. So I'm like, there's somebody that's like, man, I was a bully. Maybe I was a bully in middle school. I used to hang with the bullies in middle school.
Okay.
But not because I was a bully.
So you wouldn't get bullied?
No, it wasn't even that. It was because like all the bullies was the broke kids.
You just fell
so
in line?
I was a bully by like my habitat. I was a bully by nature. Mm-hmm. But my best friend to this day is a kid used to get bullied in fifth grade, but he told me a joke on the way home. And I was like, yo, that was funny as hell. And I protected him. I protected him all the way to like ninth grade. Then I moved schools. I was like a
bully double agent.
Okay.
You feel me? Like, I hung with all the bullies, but I made sure that the nerds didn't get bullied. Because I was like, I didn't understand. Like, I would talk to them. We sit at the lunch table, and I'd be like, yo, I pulled my cheese off of my pizza. I'm lactose intolerant. I pulled the cheese off the pizza. Then I was like, I walk up the steps with my hands. But I was like, yo, I'm so weird. I don't get how I'm with the bullies. Mm-hmm. I don't belong here. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So I had to be like a secret agent.
A liaison.
Yeah, you know, totally spies type shit.
What's something that you want your fans and, of course, your supporters to know?
Like me, I got feelings, bro. Like, I just be going through a lot right now. Like, I don't really know, you know what I'm saying? I just came on this BT interview to talk about myself, and then they want me to really get deep and talk about, like, what I'm actually feeling. But I'm feeling a lot and all at the same time.
Look at how comfortable you are. Look at your legs up. All
I usually sit in an M, but I can't do it because the chair's a little small. Everything on the album was more so just, like, this juxtaposition of, like, yo, people know me as, like, this really, really bright ball of energy, which I am. But, yo, sometimes I be feeling shit. Right. And sometimes, also, I have really egotistic reactions to certain things. Like, if I can't express myself in the moment. So a lot of the songs, like Ghost, I make Ghost to also be able to, like, create this, like, juxtaposition or, like, some different a difference in polarity to that song, where it's, like, there's a record like Ghost and there's a record like Mount Pleasant where it's like, say those songs were about the same person. It's
right.
Like, here's my egotistical version of like, you know, like, man, all right, when I leave, you gonna feel my ghost, I'm ghost, and she gonna know that she gonna, you know, whatever. But then here's the other side of like,
the
why? Yeah, like this is me being vulnerable. This is why I ghosted. This is like, you ghosted first. So this is why I had to leave because you made me feel this type way. I be having feelings, bro. Like this shit just started like maybe like 6-7 years ago. So I'm still adjusting to it a little bit, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a beating heart in there.
Yeah.
It's a whole beating heart in there.
And we're tapping into that beating heart.
Oh, Armani White. Talk about it. That should be crazy.
Yes. Let's talk about some career highlights, because you have been able to do some really cool things.
Yes.
First of all, Fallon.
Fallon, yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to Fallon. I jumped on his back.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know why I did it. It just felt like necessary.
You were really excited.
Yeah.
Tell us some of your favorite moments.
The day before Fallon, I rang the bell for the Sixers, and I missed the bell entirely. It was on ESPN. It was bad. It was everywhere.
A moment of silence.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a moment of silence at all. The whole crowd was like, like it was one of them. Like it was just embarrassing. Like I don't get embarrassed. I just laugh. But like it was one of the moments. We was on Fallon for the first run of me doing the song. Right before we go on, I think it was James from the Roots. He's like, yo. I looked over. He was like, how'd you miss the bell? And so I'm trying to rap through it.
I just
kept laughing. I was like, That was a fun ass moment. Obviously, like the running on stage of Billy that proved the internet. That was That was a fun ass.
That was a full circle moment.
Yeah, that was fun as hell. I did the halftime show for the Eagles right before they won the Super Bowl. That was really fun.
Yeah.
That was scary as hell, actually. I ain't gonna lie.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that was terrifying. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm over here just like reminiscing of, but it felt like it wasn't good at all. But
you did it.
Yeah, that was fun. Like the amount of life I lived in the past, like, 2 years is insane when you like break it all out. It's like.
And it showed you what you could do in the future.
I told you, like, you can do one thing and f it all up, or you can do one thing and get everything you ever asked for. You know, you just walk into every day thinking like that, and you got 365 chances to change your life. See me being motivational and shit like that? Like, I don't be trying to, but like, I'm really a
deep digger. It just comes out naturally.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really a spiritually aligned ass.
And it's really cool to know that a lot of legends and, of course, real spitters respect you in this lane.
Yeah.
Who are some artists that were, you know, surprised?
Remy actually did a remix to Billie Eilish also. It didn't end up coming out, but what Billie Eilish felt like when all that shit happened, it felt like the grown-ups leaned in to, like, this kid's song. But it was almost like how when the Touch It remix came out.
Yes.
Remember that? And it was like 30 minutes long if you get the one on LimeWire. And
everybody on
it. It's real cool. Like Busta, I ran into him at the Grammys. He gave me the most elaborate, uninformational invite to his party. He was like, he got this guy named Joey that works with him. Joey's my guy. He was like, yo, you coming to my party later on? And I was like, oh yeah, I like it. Just let me know where it's at. He said, all right, look, this is what I need you to do. I need you to text Joey and tell Joey that you talked to me, and then text me and tell me that you talked to Joey. Then I'm going to text you something, and then you text that from me to Joey, and then text Joey what you texted me.
What?
Mm-hmm. Did you text
her? I didn't know who to text first. I lost it somewhere in the middle of the translation. It left me.
But Busta did make it to the song,
yes.
Which is great.
Yes, Busta's my guy.
What about for the new year? What do you have in store? What are you ready for?
More grown-ups rapping on my songs. Mm-hmm. No. I've been rapping so goddamn long. Like, I'm going to figure out what it sounds like to just sing for a second.
Yeah.
Like, just be vulnerable. I think I go in these waves where I'm like, yeah, I want to be like, not machismo, but like, I want to be having really, like, a lot of fun and like, really express myself in like a hyper, good energy way. But then I'm like, I went and did all these shows with like, without the rappers, where I was like the token black kid in the conversation, and there's like, right, a bunch of white people. They'll run out and their first song is singing. So like, I'll run out, my first song is rapping, and they'll know it, but it's just a difference when they know the song and it's singing, and the song, like, it don't feel like a song that they know the words to, it feels like a song that they wrote. So like, that's what the guitar shit is for me. It's like, when these people sing these lyrics, they feel like these lyrics were written for them.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited for this next year, is just to keep doing that. Like, we've been having just like really high highs, but like, I want to try and have high highs on a whole different space, just challenge myself again. You feed me? You get tired of rapping about the cars. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, man, how many cars do I got? How many millions do I got? Mm-hmm. How many? No, I'm playing. But like, I start flexing on some random ass shit. Like, mm-hmm. I just spent $100,000 on socks.
Just
socks.
You gonna do it in a song this time.
I'm never gonna run out of socks for the rest of my life.
What are you gonna sing about?
Socks. I'm telling you right now.
The socks?
Yeah. When Christmas come around, you hit me. I'm gonna send you a plate of socks.
Global ambassador. That is a big, big title. Tell us more.
I'm like, yeah, I'm White House white. You know what I mean? Like, I'm White House Blanco now. Like, honestly, I have no idea what it means. But I do know I was at the White House with Biden, not Trump. It's me, I think it's Lenny Kravitz, Lainey Wilson.
Okay.
And Grace Bowers. We're the music fellowship that kind of leads America, I guess. America's got their Glocks tucked in their big T-shirts. Yes, sir, for the red, white, and blue. I don't know. It's just me. I get to go to the White House in socks and shit. Even the White House gets socks. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Everybody
gets socks.
Courtesy of Armani.
So White. Many socks.
And you heard it here first.
Yes,
BET Talk.
BET
Armani
is going to get socks.
White. All of us.
Everybody in BET gets socks.
We love it. Thank you so much, Armani.
Thank you.